Guess who?
We're back.
Welcome back to a brand new fucking episode of Logs Talking Two Joking Addicts. I am your host, Romano.
My name is Dean.
This is episode 8.
Episode 8.
Episode 8 of the very first season. How fucking good does that feel, man?
Oh, it's great, man. It's great. I'm buzzing the last couple of days.
Man, you're fucking buzzing. Glowing.
Yeah, I can feel it. You know, I had a little wobble the other day. You were there for me. Other people were there for me. And the Friday it was, I start coming back up and I'm just fucking glowing.
I think you're glowing because you have a holiday coming up that you keep fucking mentioning.
Well, no, it's not. And I'll tell you exactly what it is, right? It's the little things I'm enjoying in life today. You know, that day I had the wobbler. Anything that could go wrong was going wrong. And I was up in my head and I was like, what is going on? You know, I need to snap myself out of this. So I was saying a serenity prayer. I was sitting down, I was doing meditation. And then, you know, I was like, you know what, Dean, just let it happen. Just let it happen. We all have bad days. You know, it doesn't matter the clean time. It doesn't matter the people you have around you. Wherever, you're always going to have a bad day. And, you know, excuse me. The next day then, I got up and I started feeling better. And I took it back. I stripped everything back to gratitude and to the little things. You know, you were saying it to me as well. And that's something I done this morning, was to write my gratitude list out every day. I was just going to my gratitude list and just reading it. I wasn't rewriting it. You know, so we done that this morning. And lo and behold, there's new fucking things on my gratitude list.
Exactly. You know? I love to see it, man. Love to see it. Yeah. That was one thing for me. Even, like, very beginning, it was suggested to me to start a gratitude list. And it fucking works.
Yeah.
It works. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, that's a fucking load of shit, man. But we can get very complacent and we can oversee things that we have and we always want. You know, for you, you speak about watches, runners, caps, all that kind of stuff. These are things that you want.
Yeah.
But you already have them.
Yeah. And now, like, I couldn't give a shit about them half the
time. Exactly.
They don't bring me happiness.
Yeah. So, Dean, tell me what was on your gratitude list today.
And my gratitude list today was life, freedom from active addiction. Now, you have to put me on the spot now. I wrote it down on a piece of paper.
But just in general, top of the head, what are you grateful for today?
I'm not looking over my shoulder, man. I haven't got people chasing me for money.
I have a fat neck, so I can't even look over my shoulder.
I was sitting in the house this morning, and, you know, there was nobody knocking on the door. You know, if my phone rings today, I can answer it, no matter who it is. You know, if I get a private number, which I can't remember the last private number I got, it's been that long. What, you?
The Lucas Head. Give us up the Lucas Head.
Oh, please. Lucas Head. Where's your...
That's my one.
Oh, shit. I took your Lucas Head. Sorry about that.
You will be. You need to look over your shoulder.
But yeah, let me sit back down there. It's very unprofessional, isn't it?
Look, it is what it is. We're two fellas from council estates. What do you expect?
This is it. And, you know, there was nobody coming to the door. You know, we can answer the phone today. And it's always someone that I enjoy talking to. You know, I never lift the phone up and say, oh Jesus, here's this prick, or what does this cunt want, excuse the language. But it's always something good, it's always something positive. You know, and I always go off the phone. You know, sometimes I mightn't have a smile on my face because of if it was something that wasn't really good, but then I go into solution. You know, right, how can I help this person? You know, Chris is feeling unwell today, and I rang Michael and I asked, did you need anything in the shop? I was going to the shop while we were waiting on you, 5 minutes late.
It's never like that usually.
And you know, Chris wasn't feeling well, so I says, right, I says, I'll get him his bottle of 7 Up that he asked for. And I got him you know, a couple of packets of soup, a banana yazoo. That's how I can be there for people today. He didn't ask for that. You know, he wasn't looking for praise for that. It was just, you know, when I'm not well, I like to drink soup. And I just thought, ah, that's a nice little thing. And I don't think about that anymore. I just do these
just
things.
Do it, yeah.
You know,
the next, the next right thing.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? See, if that was a few years ago, I wouldn't give a fuck. Oh, you're not feeling well. Fuck you. Or if it was someone wasn't feeling well, they weren't coming out. You know, I didn't give a fuck. Because I didn't care about myself, I didn't care about others. Mm. You know, today is totally different. You know, today I care about people. Today I can be there for people, you know. And I believe that's my purpose in life, is to help people. You know, because...
That's exactly what we're doing with this podcast.
Yeah. Like, the support and love again. The people reaching out for the first time ever.
Yeah.
They're reaching out. And they're reaching out to us. You know?
Yeah. It's mind-blowing because, again, complacency. I can get very complacent in what we're doing and the impact that we're having on people. You know, we have people from all over the country and all over the world that's reaching out to us that are either in active addiction or their loved ones are in active addiction and they don't know what steps to take to come into recovery and all these kind of things. And we've got not two polar opposites, but you've got a nice bit of clean time under your belt and I'm fresh in the door. So we've literally got two ends.
Yeah.
And it's perfect.
And that's why as well, you know, that's going to show people that you don't have to have a certain amount of clean time to do something like this. You know, you come in, you hit the ground running. You know, you really did, like, and I always say it, and I'm always going to continue to say it because it was lovely to fucking see you come in and you really wanted it. You know?
I think that's the major factor for the whole thing. You know, a lot of people say they want it, but...
Like, we know a lot of people that need it.
Yeah.
It's just, they have to, you know, we can talk to them, we can be there for them, we can suggest things to them. But, you know, you can bring a horse to water.
Mm.
You know, you can't make that fucking horse drink. I'm talking to people I'm talking to people a lot more now than I was before the podcast.
Yeah.
Because they know that they can approach me today. You know, I was only approached by a person today. And... It's nice that people are approaching me today because I want to give them pieces of advice. You know, what I do today is straight off the bat when someone would contact me or someone would call me and talk to me about addiction, you know, straight away I'll share with them something about my past, something about my addiction to make them feel comfortable because... You know, if I didn't, they could go away thinking, oh, I'm not telling him this or
he doesn't understand and little things like that. But it's the relatability as well. And
yeah,
hearing things that you can relate to is massive because that's what kept me in the room and that's what made me keep coming back because you can easily tell yourself that this is just me. This is who I am. I'm just, you know, I make the decisions I make just because, yeah.
Yeah.
And... When you come into recovery and you can realise that other people are thinking the exact same way and you have the exact same mindset, you could be completely different age, you could be 45 and someone could be 19, it's the same mind. And it's, until you hear it from someone else, it's really difficult to come out of that.
Yeah, and it's a bond.
Yeah.
It's a bond that's struck up straight away.
Instantly.
Straight away, because it's like, oh yeah, I know what you mean. You know, and people seem to think, because of a few years clean, that I don't remember what that's like, or that I might look down on someone that's still using drugs. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be there. I want to help people because I've been right there. You know, this shit I've gone through in active addiction. You know, it's horrible to see that other people are going through that because, you know, at times, you know, when I've been stuck in active addiction, like in really, really low places, not knowing what's going on, not knowing if I'm going to make it to see another day, you know, not knowing if I'm ever going to see my children again, not knowing if I'm ever going to get out of this life, you know. And this was all before I knew about recovery. This was all before I knew I had the disease of addiction. I thought it was just me, you know, whereas I'm seeing it more and more.
It's like a horse with blinders on.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like.
Blinkers.
Yeah, blinkers, whatever.
Mm.
That's exactly what it's like. Tunnel vision.
Yeah. And now more and more people are seeing other people recovering.
It spoke about a lot more, definitely. Even going live on TikTok last night, the amount of people that were reaching out and some fucking really, really good questions that was asked as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really good questions.
Yeah, and you know, it was good having a chat with Recovery Keith on TikTok there. You guys are on TikTok, go and give Recovery Keith a follow and chat to him. You know, he's a really, really nice person. And you know, he set her up. You know, we were thinking about doing live episodes on TikTok, and Keith bet us to the punch and went and got us on to his page to do a live, not like a live a episode of the podcast, a live Q&A on his page, and put it out and announced it. And you know, it was amazing. Some of the questions he had,
yeah, some of the feedback as well that we got
were really deep, and then the feedback as well. The more we put this out there, the more people are going to listen, the more people that are going to relay, the easier it's going to be for them to reach out. You know, if they go on to if someone goes on to TikTok today or Facebook and Instagram, they're scrolling for, let's say, at least 10 minutes, they might come across something got to do with recovery.
But even on TikTok, I noticed when I was drinking and I was using, every second thing, like I'd be looking at cartel videos in Mexico making cocaine, like,
yeah.
And that would be every second video, and I'd be like, oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Now, every second video is about recovery, sobriety, fucking mental health, and all these motivational speakers and how they've overcome certain obstacles in their life, and it's the difference just by that. Just liking the right videos.
Yeah.
Because you can easily just subconsciously like, move on to the next one, like, and that's what's going to be on your newsfeed. For me now, everything that's on my newsfeed is all positive. Because if you're looking at negative shit all the time, what happens? You're going to attract all the negative back into your life.
Yeah. And then, you know, let's say midweek when somebody is struggling, right? They go on to TikTok or they go on to Facebook or Instagram. They follow somebody that's in recovery or they're already following them. They're seeing that stuff during the week, but they're not really noticing it. They go out on the lash the weekend, they go out with the lads the weekend and have a bad one, let's say they have a bit of a rock bottom. The next week they're gonna start seeing them videos. They might I'll scroll past that, you know, but eventually they're gonna stop and they're gonna look at it and they're gonna
be able to get away from us.
Yeah, you know, they're gonna look at us or somebody else, you know, the amount of Facebook pages out there, you know. Does remember when I was thinking of the name, I came across the name Menace to Sobriety, and I was like, oh, that name would be lethal, right? I says, hang on, Dean, don't jump the gun. Went to Google, typed in Menace to Sobriety.
It's gone.
It's already a podcast, and it's been going on a while. And now I'm following it on TikTok.
Yeah,
you know, it's crazy.
What's your man's name? Darren, is it?
Yeah,
yeah, he's good. He's
yeah,
very
he's
good.
Brilliant, like.
Yeah, I think he has ADHD as well, and something along the lines of that. But that name that you picked, Logstog, Two Joking Addicts.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, it was just because it was from that. You know, I was talking with Lydia as well, and you know, I was talking with Shano when me and him were gonna do it, and we were going through some amount of names. And then when we came by that name, I was like, oh, that would have been lethal. And I couldn't do it. Back to the drawing board. And then I was searching. And, you know, Lydia's probably going to kill me for this one. But it's the truth. And I am right. I came across Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, right? And I was like, what about Lock, Stock and Two Fucking Addicts? And she was like, you can't put that in the name. She was like, what about Lock, Stock and Two Joking Addicts? Boom.
Perfect.
And that was it, you know, and it took off from there. And that was when you come on board. You know, Shane had a couple of hard things going on in his life and he couldn't do it. But, you know, because he couldn't do this, he was able to focus more on himself, on his own recovery. And he's shining today. You know, I was on the phone to him.
That takes big balls, because a big part of the addiction is people pleasing.
Yeah.
And he could have easily jumped at this opportunity just to please.
Yeah.
And then not look after his own recovery. So shout out to him, man.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
Yeah, well done, Shino. And, you know, well done on your 7 months as well.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, he's doing really good.
Smashing
like, you know,
it.
He's gone back to work and everything. And
brilliant.
And he's killing it. You know, his family were a big, big support. You know, when he went to treatment, I was on the phone to them, and then I was able to get a phone call with him, and I hadn't heard from him in a little bit, and it was just amazing to hear the change.
Yeah, you could probably hear him smiling on
the
phone.
Man, to hear the change in him. And then when he got out of treatment, he got his phone back, obviously, and all this, and I got him on video, and it was just like, oh my God, you know, it was just like, who the fuck is this guy? You know, and he was just sitting there smiling, he's like,
who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And you know, he's doing good.
That's fucking great to hear, man. Yeah. A lot of people don't make it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't make it.
Yeah, he had his last rock bottom he had was, it was heavy. You know, and I'm sure he'll be on the show at some stage. You know, he'll have to jump on that train down to the west of Ireland.
Yeah, sunny Sligo.
And hop on board. You know, he said he'd be up for it, and he'll do it. You know, and we'll give him a little bit of time, and he'll get down for it.
Definitely, man, definitely. Just on, seeing as it's Bank Holiday Monday, let's kick it back a couple of stories. Let's see if we can talk about some bank holidays that we had, maybe an act of addiction, and how your bank holiday weekend was this time around.
You know, from act of addiction, the bank holiday weekend would have been, the planning would have went down on the Monday. You know, the head would have been gone on the Monday, thinking, right, this is going to be amazing. And I'd plan out the Friday, Saturday, the Sunday.
I knew you were going to say it. And the Monday.
You think you'd plan out the Friday, the Saturday, and the Sunday.
And relax the Monday.
Before going back to work or back to school or wherever. Oh, but no, you'd have it all planned out. You go out on the Friday.
Spend all the money.
Yeah, the plan is gone. The plan is gone. God knows where you're going to end up. You know, and I would have got myself into a lot of sticky situations, you know, and like that, all the money would have been gone, probably on the Friday.
On, I think, nearly 100% sure. So going back, I think it was about seven years ago now. And I think it was in around this time. So I went out on a Friday, and I was taking fucking MDMA all night, taking coke, and me and my mate, we got a gram MD and put it into tea, hot water.
Into tea?
Yeah, listen. So hot water. This isn't glorifying drugs or isn't promoting drugs, but this is what we done. So we were sick of fucking bombing it, making us feel sick, and didn't want to snort it. So put a half gram each, hot water, tea bag, a small bit of milk and sugar, and then put the MD on top of it. And the fucking come up was absolutely immense. It was mind blowing. And we done this then for months on end after that. Like anytime we got MD, put it into a cup of tea. But I started tripping really, really bad, and fucking, I was darting away. I ended up in Dublin, so it's in a house in Glencarrick, and then a couple of the mates, they were going up to Alan Fitzpatrick, which is a DJ, they were going up to him in District 8, and no recollection of, no, do you know what, actually, I'm going to tell this story, this is going to be fun.
Here we go.
Right, okay, so we jumped on the train, and we knew a fella from Sligo, he wasn't with us, he was going over to England, and we were all taking MD on the fucking train and stuff like that, and he just said, oh, give us a bit of that. So he started bombing the MD then, and I looked over at him, and he was like, started like looking around the place over his shoulder and stuff, started getting a little bit paranoid. And I said, what's up with you? And he goes, I'm going robbing this train. I go, what? He stood up in the middle of the carriageway with his hand in the shape of a gun, all right, and started turning around saying, everyone down on the ground now! Everyone down on the ground! I was like, man, what the fuck is going on? So he was fully convinced. And I tell you what, I was that out of my head. When he swung his hand around, I ducked. That's how out of it I was. So he got tossed off the train. We got up to Dublin then. And we stayed in the apartment, fucking taking MD and pills and everything else all night. And one of the fellas that was there with us, he's dead now, God rest him. But yeah, I started coming around to myself the next morning. And I was like, right, lads, I'm getting a taxi home now. The boys were like, what? You go look outside. I looked out in the flats all around me. I was like, fuck. Skagging balls after being on it for 3 days. And it was horrible, man. Absolutely horrible. I didn't have a penny in my pocket. All the boys had to fucking chip in to get me the train home.
Oh, no.
It was horrible, man.
And, like, on your own?
No. They were with me, like.
Oh, they were going home with you?
I couldn't wait, like, because I was on it for, like, 3 days. The absolute smell of shite off me. Sweating, and it was just like, yeah, it was horrible, man. But yeah, lo and behold, I was like, I was so out of my head, man. Even one of the boys thought he had a scrambler downstairs when he was going driving through the flats, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Some of the funny times that he had, like, but looking back now, we're lucky we didn't kill ourselves, man.
Yeah.
One of the fellas that I would have hung around with, he died from fucking taking drugs in a house, like.
Gosh.
Yeah. He,
And he would have been a good friend of yours.
Like, we would have hung around with each other. Like, we would have drank together and all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, he fucking lost his life due to substances. He was only 26, I think. A couple of heart attacks and died, like. Hectic shit, like. But that just brought me back there, because it would have been him, me and another fella. Just, we stayed in the apartment taking drugs all night. But then, I think it was a couple of weeks after that, a couple of months after that, he actually died. Oh, no, it wasn't, sorry. He had two heart attacks back to back or something like that, and then ended up in like a vegetative state. And I think it was a year after that he passed away. It was horrible, man. Horrible. But like, yeah, looking back now, it could have been any fucking one of us. And I don't know how I didn't end up dead with the amount of drugs that I pumped into my body. And remember, even up at Life Festival going back 6 years ago, there was a warning going around about these yellow minion pills. And I was like,
give me them. That's what I would have said.
I was like, I'm not taking any pills up here. I'm not going near the MD. One of my mates brought about 1,000 pills. And I was just saying, give two more. And I must have took about 25 of them in the space of, I'd say, 24 hours, not even. And I was rattling. I was tripping balls. Thought I was scrolling through Facebook with my eyes closed and my sleep and everything, man. It was mental. Some of the stories, like, it's just, you know, at the time, you seem like you're enjoying yourself, but it's excessive. Yeah. Beyond the point.
And it's only because you're after getting away from yourself that you think you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah, and I used to hate the come down. I could feel the drug slowly wearing off, and I'd be like, shit, where am I going to get my next stuff? I used to have everyone's head pounded. Mm. Every single person.
Phone call after phone call. Like.
Oh, any drugs. That's what I was
like. Anything, like.
Anything at all. Anything, any substances.
I remember we were in a gaff. We were in a gaff a few days, and we're at the run now with coke. And the boy said, oh, there's crack there. And I was like, oh, I'm not touching that. They're like, oh, you do it first and we'll do it. Me did that because, oh, fuck it, I'll do it. I took it and the boys laughed at me. And I was left sitting there on the crack, like. But, like, I didn't really care if they were going to do it after me, you know. And I was lucky that I didn't get hooked on that as well as all the other drugs, like. You know, because, even though, like, they're all the same. They all do the same thing. But, you know, that was taking her up another level. Yeah. That was taking her up another notch.
Even Peter spoke about it. What did he say? He was mentally addicted. Psychologically addicted to it, like.
Yeah.
Had a hold of him.
Yeah, you know, and, like, even going back to Reuben, like, that story he was telling us about ending up in Killoony on the scooter. Like, you wouldn't, like, some of these stories.
You wouldn't write
it. You wouldn't believe it. Not let alone 100%. You wouldn't believe it. If you were to make up that kind of story, or if we were to tell some stories that went on, unless you're an addict and you've gone through moments like this, you wouldn't believe it. You'd think, oh, no, he's lying. You know, or you tell a few stories.
Or overly exaggerated.
Yeah, or you tell a story out on a night out, the lads, oh, shut up, you dope, that didn't happen. Until one of the other boys was like, oh, no.
Yeah,
no,
I was there.
Yeah, I was there, that happened, like.
Same with the time we were down at a house party down in Glencarrick and...
Another house in Glencarrick?
Yeah. Mate, I lost about 5-6 years at that place.
Is that down...
Student accommodation.
Student accommodation, right.
I found the place when I was about 15, and then I got stuck there until I was about 18 or 19. It could be 20, actually. And it was just solid binge. Yeah. But I think I mentioned this story before about the time I got hit with the carjack and top of my head.
Yeah.
That night, like...
Mental, like...
Like, because I was so full of alcohol and substances, so these fellas obviously tried to get into the house, we closed the door on them, then one of them broke the windows. So I said to me mate, I said, like, fucking Billy Big Balls, I said to me mate, I said, tell your man at the door, I said, yeah, we're just going to open it now. And as soon as he opened the door, I ran out and gave him like a Spartan kick straight into the face. And I ran out then on top of him, and then about four or five of his mates threw me onto the ground and started kicking me, and one of them come over as I was getting up, hit me with a carjack on top of the head. And man, the fucking, oh, I can feel the rattle in my head now, like the boing. Mm. And I knew straight away, I was like, oh. But because I was so full of drugs, I jumped straight back up and started fighting again. But I got a big massive slit down the middle of my skull. And it opened, and the blood that came out of my head was like black. My whole face was just black with blood.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
All my mates were like, fuck, man, come on, let's go. And I was like, no. I started licking the blood and running at your man. I fucking, like, this is how hectic it got. I picked the bottle up, smashed it off a curb, and I was going to gut your man with it. And the boy's like, don't. And I just dropped the bottle and then picked up the car jack, put it straight through the front window screen. And all got in the car and bolted. Like, easily could have cracked me skull, could have had a bleed on the brain, I could have fucking killed one of them. And then for ages going around after, I was like, that was the fucking best night of my life. Like, when I tell people that story now, they're like, didn't happen. I'm like, and then all the boys like, no, it did.
Yeah.
That's what I was like. Like, man. Crazy.
It was what we done back then. It was for the stories. It was for the crack.
The reputation. That's what I fucking live for.
And now they're traumatized.
Yeah, I'm disgusted. It makes me feel sick every time I talk about it, man. It really, really does. And even people, like, some people I meet out when I used to go out, they're like, oh, do you remember you used to? And I'm like, I'm not that person anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And it's difficult to come away from that. Because, you know, I remember early on, for me, when I was in early recovery myself, I remember, you know, hanging around with people and we used to talk about the stories like they were still, like, I used to talk about them and be buzzing about it. And like, oh yeah, I done this and I done that. And then, you know, we started to feel like shit for the rest of the day after that. And I was like, what is that? Yeah. And it was because I had a head full of recovery. And I was like, right, that was not me. You know I'd done them things and it was all just for attention.
Yeah.
It was all just to be noticed. It was all just to stop the bullying.
Yeah.
You know, to stop my head from going in on itself. I just acted out, you know, rebelled against everything and everyone because I didn't want to feel all the emotions, all the things I was really going through. You know, people would have seen me for years and thought like, oh yeah, he's a sound young flit and he's cool. Not knowing what was going on in my head, not knowing that's why I was acting out like that, you know.
I think the turning point for me was I was out one night with my missus and her friend and her boyfriend at the time. Me and him were inside getting a drink and I think he was out for a fag and he came back and he was like, oh, some fella's out there chatting up your bird, trying to start shite. So I went out, seen your man chatting, and I went over and cracked him with a headbutt into the mouth. Broke his two front teeth and I got kicked out of the pub. My girlfriend at the time, she was distraught after seeing it. She goes, you know, if you ever fight in front of me again, she goes, that's it, we're done. And I think I took a massive step back from that then and I realised, you know, it's not worth losing what I have. Yeah. For something so stupid. If I actually had to evaluate the situation, then I could have defused it. Is that the word?
Yeah.
And I remember watching a fucking documentary. It was on Channel 4 about One Killer Punch. I think I've mentioned it before.
Yeah.
About people just going on a random night out and let's say one person bumps into another person and he hits your man a slap, kills him stone dead. One's dead, one's doing life in prison for fucking manslaughter or GBH. That's how easy it can happen. And like, if that happened just on a normal day walking down O'Connell Street, if someone bumped into you, you're like, oh my God, sorry. No, don't worry about it, mate. Don't worry. We weren't looking. Yeah. But when drink and drugs are involved, the fucking testosterone.
The ego is up. The pride
everything.
Is up.
There's just, you've no conscience and you've no thought process about what could potentially happen.
And you think as well, or if let's say someone bumps into you, yeah, like, you turn around and give him a look, or you'd say, fucking watch yourself, because in your head, you're like, if we let him away with that, he'll try and bully me, he'll think I'm only soft, or this or that, and you're just gone, you know, like, coming into recovery, I had a fucking hit list, I had a hit list coming into recovery, and I kept it for a few months, and talking with my sponsor was like, yeah, like, you have to talk about this, you have to get rid of this. You know, I had people on a hit list that done me wrong that I wanted to go back and fucking take out. You know, I wanted to go back and I wanted to kill them stone dead. And I thought, because I'm in recovery now, I have a clearer head and I can go and do this. Fucking madness, like, pure and utter madness. All the chaos, all the shit I've seen and been involved in over the years had just filled me up full of all this bullshit. You know, and slowly but surely then, you know, situations, real life situations started to happen in recovery that had always been happening, but it was only now because I was in recovery I was actually seeing them for what they really were, you know, and I was able, like Pete, I put it perfectly, you know, with the bottle of Lucozade, you know, you're only seeing the Lucozade, you're only seeing the front of the bottle, you know, sit down and have a look at it, look at all the other angles, And I was able to play the tape forward and say, right, this fella is after giving me a bit of stick on social media. You know, if I listen to my first thought, I'm getting in the car, I'm driving down to his house, and there's going to be fucking slaughter. You know, but then I was sitting back and I was like, I'm in recovery now. I'm trying to change my ways. If I go and do this, you know,
I might as well be using,
and not that as well, yeah. But another point that I'd always think about is, and what I was told, you know, let it go, Dean, let it go, and defuse it. And to me, that was like, fuck you, I'm not letting shit go. You know, I want this dealt with, and I'm gonna deal with it. Thinking I was the fucking man, do you know what I mean? Thinking I was this, I don't know. You know, thinking I was somebody I'm not, because that was never me. You know, I was never like that. But
you conditioned yourself to be that way.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Because I was always in fear, and I didn't want to be in fear. You know, and this situation fucking scared me a bit.
I suppose you had to adapt to your surroundings as well at the same time. So you, like, you can't put all that on yourself. You have to, like for me, it was the exact same. I grew up happy-go-lucky child, and then I got to hang around with certain people, and you adapt.
Yeah,
you adapt to your surroundings.
Yeah, that is true, you know, and like I was saying with that situation, I thought to myself, you know, and this is a big one for me, this is what I always think about, you know, when a situation happens, the first thought is always carnage, the first thought was always, I'm going to fucking do something to him, you know, I'm not going to let this go, and I always think, and I'm glad that I always think about this, what would people think of me if I done this? You know, and it's a fucking winner, because if I was to go and use violence, people would think, oh, so that's what Dean is really like, you know, or is he really...
You're proving them right.
Yeah, proving them right, and, you know, because people down here in Sligo wouldn't have seen some of the stuff I would have got up to in Dublin. You know, they know of it, yeah, but they haven't seen it, you know, so if they were to see some of that now, they would think, oh shit, like, is this it now? Is Dean just gone off the rails now? You know, the amount of people I'd hurt, and I don't want to do that today. Like, straight away, if I'd have hopped in the car and went and done that, come back to the house, you know, oh, where were you? What did you do? Oh, they went and fucking killed him. He shouldn't have been slagging me on social media. Da, 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 da. She's going to be in the height of it. You know, everybody around me is going to say, why did you do that? And what am I going to have for an answer?
Instead of going to someone's house creating carnage, you've came to someone's house today and gave them some remedies to feel better.
Yeah.
The difference. It's a complete polar opposite.
Yeah.
Fucking credit to yourself, man.
Yeah. Nice one, man.
That's all right, man. You deserve it, bro. Yeah. Absolutely deserve it. You're glowing, smiling ear to ear, man. It's fucking great to see.
Yeah, I've went through it, man. You know, I've went through this shit for years and years, and I'm sick of it. I don't want to feel like that anymore. You know, it gets me, it really fucking gets me emotional, because I'm a really emotional person, you know, and I love smiling, I love being happy. And I've always had that, but I couldn't always do that, you know, because what did I do? I went out drinking, I went out using other drugs, I caused people harm, I caused myself harm. And when I wanted, it was only when I wanted to stop, was when I used more. You know, like, some little problem had happened on a Monday. I could have sorted that out a different way. I could have looked at that a different way, but I didn't. I'd leave my children and I'd go and fucking run amok. You know, and not have one fucking thought about them children. You know, today I know that's because I was an active addiction. That because I'm an addict and I needed my drugs more than I needed anybody else, because like you'd have said, I was conditioned that way. You know, today I have a choice.
It's just an easy fix, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like every aspect of my life will try to find the easy route for everything. Yeah, shortcuts. Where every single fucking aspect, whether it be cutting the grass, bringing the bins out, cleaning the house, every single aspect of my life is looking for a shortcut to do least amount of work with the most reward.
Yeah.
And for me, drugs done that. Yeah, I wanted it to feel good. So how would I feel good? Short fix, take a line of coke.
Yeah.
I'd be up, I'd be like, fucking hell, this is fantastic.
And you know, we have never, just stop you there for a second and you can fucking finish that. You know, that main reason was because we wanted everything now.
Hmm.
We didn't, like, let's say you'd see a fella that was fucking in lovely shape, it was nice and muscly, you know. We didn't think about all that hard work that he put in. We thought about, oh, fuck, look at the size of him.
Bet he's on steroids.
You know, bet he's on steroids, or I'd love to be like that. But we didn't want to put in that work for 6 months out of a year. We just wanted to, you know, I remember for years and years, I'd be trying to go to the gym with my mates. I'd go for 3 or 4 weeks and be like, oh, fuck this, I'm not seeing any results. You know, I didn't enjoy the process of anything. And it was as well, you know, what you were talking about. I couldn't find a shortcut. I was never, ever going to touch steroids. Yeah, I was never, ever going to touch steroids because I already had enough drugs in my life. And that as well. Yeah, but I already had enough drugs in the mix.
Mm.
And it was like, right, I'm not going to try that route. And it didn't work for me, you know. I've been skinny my whole fucking life, you know. And I struggled and struggled to put on weight my whole life. And I always thought, oh, what the fuck is it? The fucking drugs I'm putting in my body. You know, it sounds like I'm in the recovery, starting action on the way.
I was about 7 stone, I think, when I met my missus.
Yeah.
I'm nearly double the size now. I've literally gone up like fucking, I think I'm 12 stone now.
Yeah.
All in the belly though, that's the worst thing.
I was, and what about the head?
Oh, you'll be careful.
I'm only messing. I was 9 stone when I come into recovery, and I'm in, man. I have the picture.
Yeah.
I have the picture of me standing in my man's mirror, and the face on me. I thought I was fucking huge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With my arm, like, tense in my arm like that. I was like a fucking rake. Everything, the jaws, everywhere.
I used to pose with my head to the side thinking I had a jawline. I was just a skinny bastard from all the drinking drugs. I used to think I was class.
Yeah.
Oblivious.
But yeah, getting back to what you were saying.
Yeah.
You know, what were you saying?
Thanks for interrupting me.
I'm not going on a little tangent there. Sorry.
So shortcuts.
Yeah.
Every aspect of my life revolves around shortcuts. How can I get something done quickly with the least amount of work and the high reward? That's what my go-to was.
Yeah.
Whether it be cleaning the house, making the bed, mopping the floors, cutting the grass. How can I get away with doing it quickly? Same with work. Everything has to be done like, how can I do this quickly? And like, it was just mental. But that's me all over.
Yeah.
And it was the exact same with drugs. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to feel confident. I wanted to be content. I wanted to feel comfortable in myself. And for me, the shortcut to do that was drinking drugs. I've never thought of that before. It just came out there.
Yeah. But see, that's the power in sharing something, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're connecting with a different part of your brain that you've never fucking connected with before.
Yeah, it makes sense now.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for that, you know.
Yeah, have you?
I always wondered, like, even my missus says to me, just fucking do it properly. Then you don't have to, like, even yesterday, for example, I was mopping the floors and I wanted to get it done as quick as I could to get into bed. And she was like, you've left loads of puddles in the floor, no wonder they're warped. So then she had to go back downstairs and fix that. She goes, why don't you just do it fucking right the first time? I'm like, stop annoying me.
But
like,
you know what?
Child.
Don't beat yourself up about that. Because you said it there and you didn't mean to say it. Like a big child.
Yeah.
Bro, when we start drinking and using drugs, we stopped fucking growing. We stopped learning. We became addicts. And we were just fucking gone to the races. Nothing made sense.
Nothing else mattered.
Yeah. And now, coming into recovery, that all starts to change. Like, I went and fucking washed the car today. And I love it because for that time I'm doing that, I can't be interrupted. You know, I'm alone. I'm just fucking washing the car, and I find it really relaxing today. You know, it's different now to cleaning the house or washing the floors, yeah, because I still hate that. You know, but when I find myself washing the car, I'm taking it easy and I'm enjoying it. And, you know, it used to be like, oh, fuck, I have to go and wash this car, I have to pran all the runners, I have to do the hose, I have to get the suds.
Giving out.
Yeah, and it was this that has been teaching me lessons where cleaning the room or doing the floors is that All I have to do
is start.
All I have to do is jump out of that car at the car wash and start.
I said it to my neighbour last night. I kept putting it off and I went out for a couple of smokes without the front, and I was like, oh, I said, I have to fucking clean the whole house. I'm fucking wrecked.
Do you know what you need, right? You need the 5 second rule. See, when you're sitting down on the couch, you tell yourself, when I count to five, I'm going to get up off the chair and I'm going to start doing what I have to do.
Yeah, but I struggle with my big belly. I get up and then I'm back down again. But I kept saying, like, once I keep putting it off and I'm like, oh, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. Whereas if I just say, all right, I'm getting up now, go do it now. It's just the thought of it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a good catch-up, man. Really, really enjoyed it. Really, yeah, really enjoyed it. Is there anything else that you want to cover while we're on this episode?
I just want people to reach out to us and to reach out to loved ones.
And also hit that download button.
Yeah, if you hit the download button, you're going to help us to reach more people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the more downloads, if we can go back into them charts, people will be looking at the podcast in the charts.
Yeah.
And people would say, oh, what's this?
I want to know how we got to number 11. Because I can't be, we're not even seen on the charts now.
Yeah. It was that first episode. It was all the hype that built up. And then, you know, it was because we're only new. We didn't know the crack. Remember, the first episode came out on the Tuesday. And then
Dean, we're 11 in the charts.
Yeah, yeah, on that one episode.
And then the next day, I was like, oh, Dean, we're 67. Oh, Dean, we're 200.
No, but do you remember what happened? Instead of us bringing our second episode out on the Tuesday, we were given the knowledge by Michael, you know, let's talk about picking the best day to put out the episode. And I remember thinking, like, oh, fuck, he's right. Why put it out on a Tuesday? If you put it out on a Friday, it can probably get people to sit in.
Reach the right audience.
Yeah. You know, whereas on a Tuesday, if people listen to the episode on a Tuesday, by the time they get to Friday, it's probably gone out of heads.
Yeah.
And then they're gone on the rib Friday. And then Tuesday come, they listen to another episode thinking, fuck these cunts. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, oh, fuck.
You don't want to be listening to us on a come down.
Oh, no. No. You really don't. But, yeah, you know, we have the website up and running.
www.logstockandtwojokingaddicts.com. You've got all the links to all the services in your local area. We've got TikTok that's just gone live. We go live most nights as well. We'd love for you to join us. We've also got Instagram, Facebook.
And you know, with the website, you know, like you said, Mano, we have everything on that website. And it's very important that people check out the website, because like you said, that information on there is really fucking vital. It really is vital, and we're going to keep updating the website because, you know, somebody only reached out to me recently and said, I remember I was telling you, he said, oh, I was in a meeting last week with some people, you know, very important people, got to do addiction counselling, and they'd already heard the podcast and that was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, imposter syndrome. What? They've heard my podcast? Fuck off. You know, I started thinking, like, nah, you're waffling. But I know this person isn't waffling.
Like, a little bit blown away, like, by... It doesn't seem real.
No.
It doesn't seem real at all.
Because we're just two fucking normal lads, like. We're just two addicts in recovery that are trying to help people, but we're actually helping people now. You know, like when we are talking about it, oh, we want to do this, we want to do that.
Now it's, we're doing this, we're doing that.
It comes from years and years of active addiction, years and years of plans that never fucking happened.
Sitting around the kitchen.
Oh, man. Or I'm going to do this on Monday. I'm going to the gym. Won't you see me in the summer? Summer comes and goes and you haven't done a tap, you know?
100%.
Whereas today, you know, The biggest thing and the hardest thing for me still sometimes today is believing in myself that I can actually tell myself or tell other people I want to do this, but then to actually
don't
go
say
and do
you
it.
Want to change your terminology. I'm going to I'm going to do this, not I want to, because I want to clean the house, I want to have a six pack, but am I going to? No.
What, like me?
Well, come out.
It's grown. So am I. It didn't look like a so am I. It looks like a belly there because of the way I'm sitting.
Guys, we are open to suggestions as well. What you want to hear from us, what you want to see from us, what kind of guests that you want to see on the show and hear on the show. And also, you know, what kind of support groups that you're going to be looking for, because you know, we don't know if we're covering everything, but we want to. So again, open to suggestions. You know, you're the most important people that we want to reach to, and your voice matters to us.
And yeah, we'll get that up onto the socials, and yeah. You know, if we had a bunch of listeners' questions, it would be great, because this is, like, I know we're doing it, but we're doing it for the listeners. Yeah. We want to keep going with this.
100%. Ask the questions on the website. Send the email. Mm. Reach out.
Yeah. And on that note,
that is a wrap. Thank you so much for listening to Lock, Stock and Two Joking Addicts.
We'll see you all next week.
Boom! I hope that scares them.